This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA. Hey, you Garden Show listeners, you want to hang on for the next 60 minutes and listen to how you too can start any business with any good idea. In studio today, I've got Mike Spray from Easy Swirl, local startup that just had this odd dare. We're going to kind of talk about not only how to patent that idea, but also how to monetize it, how to build it, and then how to sell it. So stay tuned again for 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. In studio, in the co-seat chair is my good friend, Randy O from the BBC. Randy, what's shaking?
Just living the dream, Mike.
Indeed. anytime you can come to the Bosma Business Center every day and just see the...
It
doesn't get any better than that. And, of course, just back from my honeymoon. I appreciate all the warm well wishes and the 240 people that came to the wedding. It was... magical.
It was spectacular. It was a beautiful event.
Right. So, no, thank you. And again, just really, really excited that now Jill Bosma is part of the Bosma clan. She's a wonderful woman. She hasn't quite figured out what she got herself into yet, but I call it fake it till you make it. That's okay.
Does she know that once you get in, you can't get out?
Indeed. You know what? I'm just going to celebrate my victory on that one, Randy. Speaking of celebrating victories, Katrina Lofton-Winkle from BTI Business Brokers. Katrina, welcome back.
Thanks. Good morning.
And, hubby kind of was winning over the weekend, right?
He finished, which is winning.
Right,
yes.
A thousand-mile race.
Thousand-mile race, when you finish, that's a huge accomplishment.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Of course,
yes.
I'm training for the Reno Tahoe Odyssey.
Nice.
One of those things, somebody has an idea, and I'll do it. You know, I need something to train for, and that's 178 miles, so we'll see if we finish.
Yeah.
There's 12.
Oh, my goodness.
Not in a vehicle, I assume. Yeah.
No. But we split that up 12 ways. But like I said, you need a challenge, or as we say, a challenge. So I thought that would be challenging. But Mike, what kind of rig did he race in?
That was an Arctic Cat. That was a new venture for them. So that's one of the things he sells down at the dealership. So they took it off the showroom floor. 2 weeks later, they had it on the racetrack. So pretty crazy.
Pretty awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of awesome, our awesome entrepreneur in studio, Michael Spray from Easy Swirl. Michael, welcome to Bosma on Business.
Thank you very much.
So, Michael, what we're going to do is learn a little bit about your product and kind of all the business parts of it. So give us your elevator pitch. What's Easy Swirl?
Well, Easy Swirl is a patented fin technology that fits into any beverage container and made part of the container itself. So it's one piece. And it has a lot of applications.
Okay, so why do I want something in my beverage container?
Well, currently the only thing that's available out there is a what they call a whisk, a ball type apparatus.
That little thing that we do, like in Shakeology.
That's
right.
Right.
You throw that in there to kind of
exactly
mix up your shake, so it's not all granular.
Yeah, but the difference here is that the ball technology creates a foam and a bubbles.
Oh, yeah. Which is the technical term for that. Now, is it Mike or Michael?
Michael, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so the technical term for that is no bueno bubbles.
Right, or aerating the liquid.
Or aerating the liquid. Thank you for the technical correction, Michael. Okay. It makes it frothy, which is no bueno. But anyway, okay.
Yeah. Currently, what they do is they shake it like it's a can of spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine that, and all technologies are that way except for Easy Swirls, which is a stationary fin inside of the vessel, so you swirl it like you would your coffee in the morning.
And that mixes your protein drink oftentimes, right?
Very well.
And, okay, cool. And how'd you come up with the idea?
Well, I don't like dirtying a spoon when I drink electrolytes and emergency, and they have to be mixed. And I was, you know, I'd put a spoon in there and then throw it in the sink. Well, that's kind of wasteful. So what happened was I started thinking, well, there's an easier way to, you know, mix. And so I started, you know, configuring different types of fins and stuff. And this came out after 4 years.
Okay. So Randy, if you would, let's get a picture of the Easy Swirl fin.
Absolutely.
Get a post on Facebook just so the benefit of our listeners. You can go to Mike Bosma. I like to be liked. Actually, I'm running out, though. I'm over 4,300.
You're almost over-liked.
Right. To the point of having to go to a professional page, because once you get to 5,000 friends, you can't have more friends, I think, according to Facebook. But for the next 700 people that like me, I will accept their friend request. But we'll get that on my Facebook page so you can kind of take a look at what we're talking about.
You bet.
The stationary fin inside of a vessel or a container. All right. What's your training or background kind of before you got into Easy Swirl, Michael?
Nothing. You know,
you were unemployed for how many years?
No, I was in sales for a lot of years.
All right. Okay. So you're in sales.
Right, yes.
Gotcha. And you kind of came up with this idea now. So as Randy's getting this up on the webs, up on the Facebook page, I would imagine, so any type of plastic extruded product, you know, you got to get a mold to get all this. What was the process, number one, to get it patented? I'm assuming you got mm-hmm. it patented, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, good. Otherwise, you might want to do that quickly.
Before I put it on
long
Facebook.
Ago.
Right. Well, you know, again, for the benefit of our listeners, right? This thing called a provisional patent. Did you go through that process first?
No, I didn't.
You just went straight to patent?
Went to patent pending.
Patent pending. Okay. So, a lot of times it's very inexpensive, like, you know, we'll talk about here in a second. You get a patent for your product. Most times you get a provisional patent because you want to be able to at least save the idea and be the, I saw this fascinating factoid that, you know, there's the person who patented the telephone wasn't the person who invented the telephone, right?
Interesting.
Right. So who invented the telephone?
It was Mr. Bell, wasn't it?
Right. But who patented it? Thomas Edison. So just a little great little factoid you learn here about Bosma business, but that's where it's like, oh, you know, he invented it and didn't patent it, so somebody else patented it and made all the money. So that's how that works. So that's where you want to get a provisional patent. It's not that expensive, but it's basically saying, here's my idea. If you can go to the U.S. Patent Office website, you can see, you know, the hand sketches, nothing fancy, but this is my idea. So that way somebody hears about it. They don't jump ahead of you to say, no, I have the idea. You can always know I had the idea first. So you went straight to a patent pending on your Easy Swirl product. How long ago was that?
Probably about over 4 years ago.
Okay. And are you still patent pending, or you would have heard from the patent office?
Oh, no, it's
now,
patented.
Right? You're patented, right. Okay.
It's a full enforceable patent.
Okay. So congratulations. How much did that cost?
A lot.
$10,000? Okay. $40,000? $60,000? $100,000?
Wow.
Wow. Right? So, but that's why a lot of times you go provisional patent, make sure that the thing will work, and then
right. And one of the little secrets in the patent world is that anyone can get a patent on anything, and I've seen some pretty funny ones. Mm-hmm. But the real where the rubber hits the pavement is getting proof of concept.
Right?
Can you get a proof of concept? Patents one thing, yes, but proof of concept is quite another.
Mm-hmm.
And on my project here, it was very simple, and getting proof of concept on that alone was a challenge.
Right. So, and how did you go about doing that? How did you get the first one made?
Well, it's an interesting story. I went to Rubbermaid and Pampered Chef and the usual suspects, and they all told me that you can't put a fin in a cylinder. It's never been done.
Hmm.
Sorry.
That sounds like a challenge.
Yes, it is quite a challenge. And I actually thought that I had something that I couldn't get a proof of concept on.
Right.
Well, someone told me, said, well, send it to China and see what the Chinese can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I sent it over to China, and by golly, they made it.
Okay.
Which was surprising, but they did. And now I have a proof of concept.
Okay. And so when you think, and that's where now with the, this whole thing about 3D printers, you can take this cup and print it on a 3D printer. Yes, you can. But the
allow me to explain. Okay,
do tell, Michael.
That was one of the first things I did was to try and do a 3D print of the thing. But because the way the fin is set inside of the cup as one piece, 3D printers can't make the piece that sticks out from the inside. It kept on collapsing.
Mm, okay.
And we kept trying time after time to do it, and we just couldn't. It wouldn't happen.
Okay. Yeah, and that's where I guess the reason that I was saying is like in this, for most 3D printers, this cup's about a foot tall. A lot of times you're not going to be able to get one, but you can print it in pieces, like in three pieces, glue those together. Obviously, you're never going to sell that, and it's going to look a little funky the way that those printers come out. But what it allows you to do is to test to see, okay, what size do the holes need to be, you know, without, you know, because one mistake I see just a lot of people make, they have this idea, they send off the design to China or to, you know, Randy and I know a guy has a plastic extrusion company here. He's Triad Plastics, our buddy Greg Latimer. They'll send it to Greg, right? And he'll say, okay, well, I need to charge you X amount of dollars, which could be on the low end $20,000, closer to $40,000 for a mold to and that they'll make, and then to do the extrusion process. So when you look at that, you're like, holy smokes. And then they get it. They're like, well, it doesn't really work as good as I'd hoped.
That's
it was.
Right.
Then I've got to make a different mold. And so the beauty of really where I'm seeing entrepreneurship happen now with 3D printing is to get it so they can kind of get that proof of concept and see how does it work. And I can play around with, you know, does it mix it well at all levels and all those things. Like how many, like yours, it seems like you've got two kind of different levels in here to mix your electrolyte drink, your emergency, your protein drink. How many iterations do you have to go through to get the right size holes at the right depth in the cup?
Well, the fin itself, there's probably about over 100 iterations,
right,
of that, you know, configuration. Mm-hmm. And I had to design it so that the center spins faster than the top and bottom.
Right.
So that it would mix properly when you swirl it. It was a challenge all the way along, just the different components. And this is what they would call a simple patent.
Right, right. So, and that's where I think a lot of people will say, well, they'll look at the cup like, oh, okay, I get it. We'll do an easy plastic extrusion, mass produce them in China for 50 cents, sell them for $100 and make all the money. But you got 100 iterations, you've got $100,000 plus in patent work. And then when we come back, let's figure out how to make millions off of that investment. It must be Bosman Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosman Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Glad to have tax season behind me. Hallelujah. Glad to have the wedding behind me. So now it's just blue skies ahead, talking about figuring out how to make millions off this idea that my in-studio entrepreneur, Michael Spray, did with Easy Swirl. So now, Michael, if somebody wanted to go look at one of these or buy one, how would they do that?
Well, you can go to my website and purchase one there.
What's the price point for them?
$12.99.
All right.
And they're over at Reno Running. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Scolari's this month, and Redemption Sports, the Buy Nevada First Store.
Okay.
And I have a couple other retail outlets that are carrying them. It's just starting to catch on. I just got my. They just came to shore.
Okay. Now, did you get a container full of them?
No. I started out with 5,000.
Okay.
Luckily, because when you're manufacturing in China, you want to look for defects and
right,
things like that, and you want to get all the wrinkles run out of the sheets, so to speak. So we took a chance and did 5,000 of them, and it came out okay.
Okay. Now, did you go over there and physically witness the process, or did they send over a couple samples? You know, what was your quality control process through them?
Well, they sent over several rounds of samples, and I rejected a couple rounds. And I have a company that I pay called A1, very good people, Lauren, he's overseeing all of that manufacturing stuff in China for me. Very nice guy, very good company, very reliable. And they delivered a product that was superior.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so and you sell them for $12.99. What do they cost you?
Well, this first batch is about $45 a piece.
Right.
however, as the cost goes down, I'm trying to get them down under $4. Right. So that we can retail it and make it accessible for everyone.
Mm-hmm. $45.
Now, Mike, you have to explain that.
Okay. I have a client that was building a beer brand, and we were talking about this very same thing, right? Because if you want to be able to get things in small enough lots to see if people will buy them, right? I remember I also had a client that opened up a hotel, and they bought all these little bitty hotel bars of soap that they had their name on. Well, guess what? Cases and cases of this soap that their guests didn't care for. So they had to go to a different type of soap. So they didn't ask their customer before they bought the soap. Same thing as you got to be able to say, okay, well, when I was talking to this beer distributor, or this beer manufacturer, I should say, I was like, it doesn't really matter how much the beer costs. You're trying to see if people want and like the beer. So you'd be willing to make it for a lot more to get a limited run rather than have a whole warehouse of beer that people don't like. Same thing. You'd rather have you don't want a whole warehouse of cups that don't swirl perfectly, or they don't fit in, a lot of things are the aesthetics of it, how well they fit. On the front of this cup, it says women love this sports bottle. How well does it fit inside? If that's your target demographic, how well does it fit inside a lady's hand versus a guy's hand? All those things matter, and you got to start talking to your customers as people are looking at them. What do I like about them? What don't I like about them? And then you can order the big run and get them to a normal price point. But I mean, you usually got to order those by the container full to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like in the tens of thousands of units. A lot.
Yes.
How did you fund this thing, Michael?
Carefully.
Okay. Investors, you do it all out of pocket, friends and family?
Yeah, a lot of it came out of pocket. Friends and family, I bootstrapped this whole thing.
Wow. Okay. Well, what's the, the way to make millions creating your own cup company? Start with billions.
Mike, that's just mean.
People don't appreciate it. That's why we do the show. This is, so people, they get in here like, wow, I need to have the capital to make this thing go, and it's a lot.
One of the things I tell people is that when you find out you're going to have a baby, you don't worry about where the diapers are going to come from or the food or any of that stuff. And a patent is much the same way. It'll nickel and dime you all the way.
Right.
Just like raising a child. Right. And my wife and I, kid each other, this is our child.
Right. Right. Is that expensive? It's significantly more expensive. It's more needy, right? It's like, oh, we need it now. So, Katrina, when we talk about company valuations and kind of how to monetize these companies, how do these companies sell and...
Well, it's tough until you have a sales history. Right. So everyone wants that sales history. I mean, it's just like what you see on Shark Tank. They want to know, how many have you sold? What's your cash flow? All that good stuff. So that's key. I mean, you've got to prove that the product will sell. So and then the next step is there are investors that will invest in something like this, with no sales, but they're fewer and far between.
Well, and oftentimes they're going to get you at a valuation that's going to feel like, wait, you didn't take any risk. You didn't pay any of this money, but... You're going to come in as equal shares from
right.
what I've got into the thing, and like it was really no risk capital to get it this far. So that's where people get hung up on that part of it, that early stage. But I think this would be a good thing for Shark Tank, though.
Yeah,
I
mean,
it has a lot of sex appeal. Have you ever thought of taking it that direction?
Well, yes, I have thought of that. And I read Lori Grenier's book and I took two things away from there. From that book. And then one is you don't go to Shark Tank unless you need to. And two, entrepreneurs are people who are willing to do things for a few years that no one else is willing to do so they can relive the rest of their life like nobody else can.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two things I took away from her book. One, you don't go to Shark Tank because it costs you 2% to walk through the door. And then they're probably going to take more and give you less than what you really want.
I mean, but I guess the, you know, this type of a business, Michael, is, you know, sales are everything. See, you're through proof of concept, right? You're kind of getting to that point where you're getting to critical mass. The real deal is you know, it's all, you need money, a lot of it. Typically, the way that this works on a manufacturing basis is you get to pay for the product up front because they're not going to ship it from China until you write them a big check for almost all of it, or transfer money for almost all of it. It takes weeks to get here. And then when it gets here, then you have to then start distributing it out to distributors who then distribute it out to retailers. And typically your distributor's not going to pay you until they get paid. And retailers are anywhere from 30, sometimes, most of the time, 90, 120 days out. So you're really talking about a 6 to 9 month cycle to get paid for the outlay on this stuff. So the problem that people have is they don't have enough capital to fund that and still keep the lights on, right? It's like, okay, I can buy this stuff, but I didn't realize this, you know, people are buying them off the shelves. It takes so long for the money to trickle through to you. I mean, so, you know, you're independently wealthy, you're going to fund this out of pocket? How's that going to work?
I got one word, licensing.
Okay. Explain.
When someone licenses a product from you, there's a large upfront payment. And that's used to go generally back into the company and to set the licensing agreement together.
Okay. So you're going to license this and have somebody else manufacture it? License the intellectual
property?
Well,
we have about, 10 products that we can identify from this patent, but there's more.
Okay. Let's do this when we come back in studio. Michael Spray from Easy Swirl, Katrina Lofton Winkle, and Randy O. We're going to try and figure out how to make millions when we come back. It's Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. It's no one-hit wonder. It's Michael Spray from Easy Swirl talking on the break just about how many different applications this fin has, and to mix all kinds of stuff from not only the sports drink, but also baby bottles, paint, I'm sure a myriad of other applications. And also in studio, I've got Katrina Lofton Winkle, BTI fame, and Randy O from BBC. So, Randy, what's shaking at the BBC?
Hey, we had a terrific event with Joe Jonovic and Solis Network Solutions. We had about 20 business owners that came in that learned how to save their business from disaster.
Well, and I'll tell you, Randy, we've been talking about our own little business startup called the Bosma Business Center. And the video really took off, right? You just like the little iPhone video, got Joe talking about what he's going to talk about, and it really got the RSVPs up.
I'm telling you, video marketing is that is the way to do it.
Yeah, so just...
Well, nobody wants to read anything anymore.
Right. I just want to listen.
Yep, they just want to listen and watch. And plus, Joe's handsome.
And he's very good on content. So,
that's right.
Any other events coming up?
You know what? We don't have our June event set up yet, but people can certainly check out the Bosma Business Center website, bosmabusiness.com, and we'll have the look at the live event page, and we'll have that up for them.
All right. So, those getting good feedbacks from people that are attending those. All the things a business owner needs to know and kind of don't even know to ask. So speaking of which, Katrina, as we talk about the hair on these companies, when they go to try and sell or get valued, what are some things that Michael needs to be aware of as, he's putting his business together?
In the early stages, it's just very difficult to come up with the valuation because really all you're valuing is the patent. Mm-hmm. What is it worth? And it's worth different things to different people.
Right.
So it's very, very subjective. So, I think the key is to maximize the return on your investment is to do as much as you can with it. Get it as high as you can, hopefully, ideally $5 million in sales before you even think about selling it.
Right.
or doing anything and, how you're going to get there. So,
yeah, and that's where, especially if you're selling stuff at negative $30 per unit margin.
Get the cost down a little bit. That would be my advice.
the thing is, you need traction. people using your technology and creating a buzz, which is all about marketing and sales. Your background before you fell off the train into entrepreneur land was sales. You know, how do you distribute this thing? What's the game plan there?
Well, it's as a salesman, I wanted to go after, of course, the biggest account.
Mm-hmm.
So I called up As Seen on TV.
Right.
And the guy says to me, he says, well, can you have me $3 million by next week? I said, well, and I got my calculator out and I said, well, $3 million, I can probably produce $3 million in 2 years.
Why?
Because I only have a single hole mold. The mold, I have to stay within my capacity.
Oh.
So I'm learning lessons about capacity, and he was very nice with me and had a very nice talk with me and said, you know, you have to crawl before you run.
Right.
He says, get some of your local people and stay within your capacity. Know what your capacity is to produce before you try and sell it to somebody.
Right. Yeah. Because if you can't take the order, what are you having the call for? Right.
That's right.
Right. No, that's good insight.
Well, yeah. So I learned that I have to maintain my capacity. So I started engaging local businesses, which I'm in local businesses mm-hmm. now. I have a licensing agreement and with the International Milk Bank. And I'm also online, and Jet is supposed to be coming on here very shortly, which is the competition to Amazon.
Okay.
So there's a different ways, and then at the same time, I'm hiring different sales organizations to put it out because I realize that this is really big. It's not like, you know, one thing or another. Mm-hmm. It's going to take more than one sales organization to put this thing out there.
Oh, yeah, and there's trade shows that are really custom made for this type of. You go to the trade show, people pick it up, right? It's just how that
right.
works, right?
Right.
And I guess that's where I would just encourage you, because one of the things that I just really see is going to happen. I just hate to say this out loud because I'm normally an optimist, but somebody's going to take a derivation of your technology, and that is a multi-billion-dollar company, and they're just going to run with it. Right. And they're just going to say, do you have the capital to fight us? And they'll bury you in court. I mean, you'll sue them. You'll say, nope, that's my patent. And they're going to say, no, there's enough differentiation if it happened to Apple, right? You know, you're not capitalized like Apple. So that's especially when you're doing kind of low cost stuff in China. The Chinese are the worst. They'll pirate anything from anybody, you know. So what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
What if, there's a couple of thoughts there. There's a couple of thoughts there. I've had a large corporation, mm-hmm. Huge, try and make a baby bottle that was similar to mine, mm-hmm. and it was a failure. And I called them up and got into their R&D department, and I said, I offered to sell them
license. I can make magic happen for you, right?
Right.
Well, and they're just like, you're who? From where?
Well, this particular company owns all their patents.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay a guy $65,000 a year to sit in the back and think of new things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take their patents and, you know, right. like that. So it didn't work out so well for them. It's a real hard thing. And I've gotten this far down the line without any knockoffs. So I'm very fortunate and I feel very lucky about that. Mm-hmm. I do know that there will be knockoffs.
Right.
It's a given. It's a new technology, and I understand that. But in the long run, in the big picture, from a 10,000-foot view, if I make 1% on what this is, possible,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay.
I got you. You know, that's why it kind of begs for capital, right? It's just like, okay, you know, the sooner you can ramp it, the sooner you'll really be able to capitalize on that first mover advantage and be able to take, you know, 2, 3, 10% of that rather than the 1%, right?
Right, or 90% or 80% right. or whatever it is. I believe I am first to market because I have put a lot of them out into the marketplace. And they are on store shelves. And
right.
They saw me coming for a long time because I did go to different manufacturers and tried to license it and sell the idea before I did the proof of concept.
Right.
So they saw me coming. And the I've sent out bottles to several of my competition. Well, I don't have any competition. Let me rephrase that. I don't have any competition because I'm the only bottle out there that has a fin in it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them all, everyone else is some kind of a ball or mixing apparatus or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the guys that I know in the industry that I've, you know, came up in have looked at it and said, well, it's a Cadillac bottle. This is the best you can,
right,
you can make.
And how much more for the Cadillac bottle can you charge?
Well, I could probably charge more than $12.99, but I want to get out on the market. I want to get it into people's hands.
So I guess a similar mixing bottle, what would it cost you if I were going to buy this thing with a whiskey ball in it that makes bubbles instead of non-bubbles?
Well, I did some comparative studies as to what, you know, everything is costing in the marketplace, mm-hmm, and the high end is $35, right, low end is $2.99.
Mm-hmm.
So at $12.99, I come in somewhere around the middle, and you could offer that for $14.99 or $16.99. But will people, one, understand that the technology, and two, is it enough to replace it? Now, we found out early on that mixers that have a ball inside of it scar the inside of the bottle, and it causes bacteria to grow. So after a year, you have to throw
the whole thing away, right?
And you have to get another one. Well, that's their end of life. And
a good business model, right? It means you got to buy a new one every year, right?
That's right. Until someone like me comes along who has something different.
Okay. And then that could disrupt the industry.
That's right.
Right. If you have enough capital to make an impact, right?
Correct.
Really make an impact on your competition, to rise to a level. You know, because it's just, you know, no matter how good it mixes it, I'm not going to go to work like, I can't believe I have a non-frothy shake. You know, it doesn't impact life that way. It's just a better shake that people use. And it's just, we would call that a gadget, right? So you could say, okay, well, you know, people don't get overly excited and post on Facebook how good their gadget is because it's a gadget. It's supposed to be good. And I guess that's where, for Katrina's sake, I'm just curious. Like, so Alexa, he gets a $5 million in sales. On your projections, Michael, $5 million of sales, what's the bottom line number look like? Well, let me say this. So, would it work? It gets a $5 million sales, and, you know, cost of sales of $15 million.
Now stop that.
As my lawyer said, Mike, you're one invoice away from being a success.
That's true. Yeah.
Always. But that's where you can recast that, right? So, okay, well,
yes,
if you buy a container load, they're $4 a piece, and now instead of having $5 million, you know, and $15 million to cost of sales, now $5 million and $1.2 million, $1.5 million in cost of sales, recasted. In fact, we're doing kind of one of these now for
a client,
right?
Yeah, it should be around $1 million. I would say, right, EBITDA would be what I would expect it to come in at.
And what kind of multiples? Let's say you have $1 million EBITDA. It's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And $1 million of EBITDA, what would somebody pay for that?
Right now, it's between 3 and 5.
Okay.
So, but the key there is how much inventory do you have and how often are you turning it? That's a really key factor there. So,
mm-hmm, that's a good point. So,
and what is it? Do you have one customer? You know, that one invoice thing, that's not always a good thing.
Right. Because they say if you lose your one customer, but I think that's where you're already developing multiple sales channels.
Yeah.
But let's say you had 100 million. You know, or let's say 50 million,
mm-hmm,
it's just because the math is easier.
Right.
you know, 50 million and $5 million of EBITDA. What, mm-hmm, you know, what kind of multiple are you getting there?
You're looking at 5 to 8, probably.
Five to eight.
Now possibly higher.
Right. You get those higher sales, the bigger companies start paying attention. You get a higher valuation multiple because they don't need the return because they've got basically unlimited capital. So
That's
where if you're able to kind of buy market share, it makes sense because you're going to get that paid back quickly through that multiple when you do sell, although I love the licensing thing. Let's do this. My, how time flies. When we come back, the number one thing when you put in the fin in your drink and how to monetize it when it's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KUH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. My, how time flies. Randy O, the number one thing for Michael on Easy Swirl.
Well, you know, I'm going to, not so much for Michael going forward, but this whole patent discussion has been very enlightening. So when you, I think that making sure you've got a war chest, making sure you've got, you know, capital to really see this thing all the way through, I think is key when you're inventing,
So you got to win the war.
Absolutely. Right. You know, getting a provisional, paying $300 on LegalZoom to get a provisional is one thing.
Right.
But you better think about what kind of capital you need to get to the end. Right.
Yep. No, fair enough. Katrina Loftenwinkel, number one thing.
Number one thing. You know, actually, Mike, I think you had a good point with the 3D printing. So that was probably a great, you know, a great idea because you don't need this to be drinkable, you know, to see if it works. So that was a great idea.
And Michael Spray.
Well, I had to get a model made, and since the 3D printers didn't work, I paid a company $600 and some odd to make me a working model before I had it manufactured.
Right. Which is still a good solution.
It's a good solution. Yeah. You really do have to have a model in your hand to look at. Because we learned a lot by looking at that.
Right.
Sure.
You know, because before that, it was all an engineer, me and an engineer going back and forth. And, oh, my God, you know, until finally we had one made. Then we could look at it, you know, and that's how you do it.
Right. No, fair enough. And that's where, you know, you're approaching 60. And probably my number one thing would be is, you know, oftentimes you're spending a lot of money on this. It's this funny thing about startup costs that, you know, getting to selling, you know, as soon as you sell your first, you're in, quote unquote, in business, not getting lost in startup land. Not sure how you did that, but there's actually a business model out there. If you're 59 and a half, you can start taking money out of your retirement account. Most people, if you own a home type of thing, you've got anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 of itemized deductions that get lost when you're doing this business startup every year. And so a lot of it is you want to pull money out if you're in business, you're not in startup anymore, you're in business to take advantage of the research and experimentation credit, to take advantage of kind of all of the tax breaks you get as a new business. But you're saying, well, I don't make any money, so it's a big net operating loss I get to carry forward. It's actually time to liquidate or convert your retirement accounts into Roths or pull the money out. And you can do that without penalty as soon as you're 59 and a half. So it's timing line where you are in life could work very well for you to monetize this thing. You know, you'll find that there's actually probably a lot of benefit to doing something like that because otherwise those credits are lost. You know, that's the problem. You don't take advantage of them, they're gone. So, anywho, do some tax planning.
And the IRS is not going to tell you.
No, their job is to tell you what you missed, what you didn't take advantage of. So, how time flies, as I think I said, third time. This is great being back. And I'll tell you, for the benefit of our listeners, if you want to take advantage of some of this expertise on a one-on-one basis, having those consultations every week, had a great one yesterday. Really talking about it, you know, as a result of last week's show on estates and trusts, kind of, you know, when you inherit things, then you know, I call them these lifetime events. You need some specialized training to really get your mind around how those inheritances work, the trust, and, you know, do you need to file the portability election, all those things. Of course, that shows on last week's podcast. Go to kkoh.com and they can tune you in there. This is Mike Bosma, and one of the things we do is help your business. Give us a call. We're at 786-4900, and we can set up one of those consultations and get the beautiful, amazing Katrina Loftenwinkel in there to talk about how to get your multiple to be higher for your business. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.